Into the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Father, we thank you this day, Lord. Please bless Brother Reinbeck right now as he gets ready to preach. Fill him with your Holy Ghost. Help him to preach a powerful, bold, and edifying sermon. And help us all to come out of here being better Christians and better used by you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for coming out. And the title of my sermon today is Why Go Soul Winning? Why go soul winning? And today, a lot of people, they do things they don't understand why they do it. And it's important as Christians to know why we believe the things we believe and why we do the things that we do. And so tonight, or today, my sermon is Why Go Soul Winning? And Ecclesiastes is a great book. It's one of my favorite books. And chapter 1 kind of summarizes the entire book. Look down at verse number 1. Look down at verse number 1. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So obviously, King Solomon was a great man of God, but also King Solomon had everything. I mean, everything this world has to offer you, Solomon possessed. He inherited the great kingdom. He built many great things. He had wealth. He had power. He had wisdom from God, most importantly. So King Solomon had everything. In the very first part of the book, it says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So Solomon knew something. Even with all the things the world had to offer, he says it's all vanity. He says it's all useless. It's all pointless. And we're going to get into why it's so important about spiritual things, because the things that the world has to offer you is vanity. Vanity means pointless. It means that it's worthless. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have any real value. And that's what we see in the world today. There's a lot of things the world will offer you, but it doesn't have any real value. It's vanity. So he had power, fame, riches, and wisdom. And one of the best ways to learn something is through your experiences. But the second best way to learn is through other people's experiences. You know, a lot of people, including myself, they have to touch the stove to realize it's hot. You know, and I'm guilty of that. But you know what's better, children? Learn that when your brother touches the stove, it's hot. You know, you don't have to touch it. So we can learn from one of the wisest men in the Bible what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, what is vanity, and what is profitable, what has real value. So children, listen up. Learn from other people's experiences. And we're going to learn from the Bible and Solomon's experiences. And you can learn from people around you's experience. You know, if your brother gets in trouble for doing something, children, don't do that. You don't have to get spanked for that. You can watch your brother get spanked, like, yeah, I probably don't want to do that. So we can learn from others' experiences. And that's a much safer way to learn than through your own experiences, because when you go through it, you're going to experience it firsthand. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. I'm going to read for you in James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Verse 14, it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The Bible says the time that we have on this earth, the time that God has given you today, tomorrow, in this life, it's but a drop in the bucket. It's but a vapor. It's like a flower that comes up and withereth away. You don't have a lot of time. You don't have a lot of things. There's a lot of things you have to do in this little amount of time. But how are you going to spend that time that God's given you here? Because the Bible says it's like that. It's like a vapor. It's like a drop in the bucket. And King Solomon had all the things he could do. He had all the power. He had all the riches to do whatever he wanted. And after he goes through all his experience, after he says he's experienced all these things, folly, mirth, wisdom, building great things, he says, it's all vanity. Everything that you can do in this world is vanity. Solomon teaches us that. And we only have a little time. We only have a short space to get done what God needs us to get done. So why is soul winning so important? Well, my first point is because all is vanity. All the things the world has to offer you is vanity. It has no real intrinsic value. Look at verse number 8. This is at the end of the book. What does he say? Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. So he tells you at the beginning, and then he tells you everything he did, and then at the end he's like, yep, it's still vanity. That's what the world has to offer you. And he had to experience that firsthand. And you can see in the story, in the record that we're given of Solomon, that he started off great and with great things, but what was the end of his life like? And this book was written to teach us that that's where that road leads you to. God can give you all these great things, but you know what? You can use it for vanity. You can use it for vanity, including wisdom. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11, Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, verse number 11, it says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So not only is it pointless, not only is it worthless, but it's vexation. You know, going and doing and trying to achieve the lust of the world, it's vexation to your spirit. It's difficult. It's hard. So why are you going to spend all this time? Why are you going to spend all this trouble vexing your spirit to do something that's vain, that's worthless, that has no meaning? But the world does it all the time. You know, the world tells you to seek riches, right? So people, they go out and work 40, 50, 60 hours to pursue these things, and they get these riches, which Solomon already had, and he said, you know what? That was vanity. Yeah. And ask an old rich person what they'd rather have, and I guarantee you they'll give up their riches for the things that you could have when you're young, for having good children and good family and doing good things with your life rather than those riches, because those things are vanity. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. So why go soul winning? Well, my first point is because all is vanity. The world has to offer you vanity. The second thing is that we can gain eternal things over temporal things. Eternal things over temporal things. So we have to live in this world. I mean, there's no getting out. We're going to live in this world, and we have to use this world. But that we shouldn't abuse this world, but we have to use it. You have to get a job. You got to take care of your family. You have to live your life. But here's the things. You shouldn't be seeking the pleasures of this world. You shouldn't be seeking those things that are temporal. Okay? We should be seeking those things that are eternal. Look at verse number 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in your work in the Lord. So the works of the world, they're in vain. But if you're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, that's not in vain. Those things have eternal rewards. Those things have eternal consequences to that. So what are you going to work for today? Are you going to work for God? Are you going to work for eternal rewards? Are you going to work for vanity or temporal things? All that money that you're going to save up, it's gone. You know, look what happened to the stock market a couple months ago. All those people had all that money in there, and it just dropped. It was just gone. It just disappeared. And what's going to happen with the mark of the beast? Even if you do all these great investments, even if you do everything right according to the world, gone. You don't take this, you don't get the buy and sell. Because it's temporal. It's vanity. It's worthless. It's not things that you're going to get to take with you. You know, nobody ever took any of their money to heaven. Nobody ever took any of their money to hell. It stays here because it's vanity. It's not real. It's an illusion. It's a distraction. It's the lust of this world. that fancy house that you bought, those fancy things that you build, vanity. They're going to be destroyed. In 100 years, they won't even exist anymore. Somebody will have tore it down and built something else there. All those great things that Solomon built, where are they? They're gone. They're vanity. He even says he's going to give it to the next generation. He doesn't even know who he's going to give it to. Maybe it's a good guy. Maybe it's a bad guy. But then 1,000 years later, it'll be gone anyways. Nobody will even remember that it was built. That's how this world is. This world is temporal. It's not meant to be forever. That's how God made it. That fancy sports car, that collection that you have, it's vanity. It's going away. You know, we have people that remember great things. They can remember all the sports, all the statistics, but they don't have their Bible memorized. They can remember all these great songs, all these great lyrics of these wicked songs, but they don't have the hymns memorized because they're focused on vanity. They're focused on temporal, the lust of the flesh, the world. They are not taking the things of the Spirit. They're not taking the eternal things that have reward. Those fancy clothes, the moths are going to eat them. Those fancy cars, the rust's going to destroy it. That's what this world has to offer you. So again, point number one, all is vanity. All is vanity. Turn to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Don't spend your life acquiring worthless things. Don't spend your life acquiring worthless things. It's temporal. Solomon already taught us this. Somebody that already had it all. He said, don't do it. It's vanity. And it'll vex your soul. But the works of God are eternal. And what greater work can you do than go soul winning? Is there anything you can do? What did Jesus come to do? He came to save souls. So is there anything greater to do? I can't think of one. Saving souls, going soul winning, is the most profitable thing you can do. It's the greatest work you can do. Because everything in this world is vanity. But going soul winning has eternal rewards. It has eternal things. Look at verse number 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a pretty sharp saying. It's telling you not to love the things of the world. Like, oh, but I really love that. No, because that's temporal. That's not eternal. That's not of this world. Look, go to verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So it's making a distinction. Look, the things of the world, they're not of God. They're not of the Father. They're of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's not of God. That's of the world. We're supposed to stay away from those things. And we're supposed to want the things of the Father. Look at verse number 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So again, we're contrasting the things of the world and the things of God. And the things of the world are vanity. That's what Solomon's trying to teach us. We don't want to get ensnared of the lust of the world because look, we're all in the flesh. Unfortunately, we all live in the flesh and we're going to have that temptation to go down the lust of the flesh, to want those things. That's normal because we have the sinful flesh, but we're warned. That's why we have these stories in the Bible. That's why we have these commandments not to love those things because he knows that we're going to. He knows that the reason we have the commandments is because he knows that we're going to want to do that. The reason why he gives us those things is because he knows we're going to want them. And he's saying, hey, don't do that. That's vanity. That's not of the Father. That's of the world. Look at these things. Look at the Father's things. Look at these eternal things, the spiritual things. That's what we're supposed to focus on. Don't let the riches of this world choke you out. Look at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, it says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns, as he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This is a saved person. This is a person that was doing the right things, but what happened? He was deceived by the riches of the world. He was deceived by the cares of this world, and it choked him out. He was about to bring forth fruit. He was about to do great things for God, and he got choked out because he was deceived, because he focused on the world and the lust of the flesh. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17. It says, therefore, I hated life because that the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I think Solomon's trying to tell us something here. Solomon said he hated life. Think about all the great prophets in the Bible. You know, at one point, Moses hated life. He's like, all these people want is carnal things. All they do is complain and murmur, and they want this and they want that. And he's like, I hated life. And Solomon, he hated life too. He said it was vexation. It was vanity. It was grievous unto him, the work that was under the sun. So the number two reason why to go soul winning is because you'll reap those eternal rewards. So first off, it's vanity to do anything else. Second of all, God is going to reward you for doing those things. So if the warning of, hey, this is a bad idea, this is worthless, isn't enough, hey, I'll also reward you if you do the right things, if you do spiritual things, if you can receive eternal rewards instead of seeking after those things that are going to go away. I'll read for you in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. It says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which much contentions. So Paul said, even though he went through all these hard things, it was profitable for him to preach the gospel because he knew the rewards. And look, people don't want to do spiritual things because they're hard. Memorizing scripture is hard. Maintaining a good church, going to that church, learning and growing, that's not easy. I'm not here to confuse you or trick you and say, hey, this is just easy. It's going to be cake. But you know what Solomon said about the world? It's hard. It's vexation. Yeah. So you don't have a choice between easy and hard. Okay, you have a choice between temporal or eternal. That's the choice you have to make. And you'll be a fool to go in this direction. Because look, both of them are hard. But this one's vanity, and this one has reward. This one is the one you want to seek after. Look at verse number 30. Proverbs 11, verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Why is he wise? Because what are you going to do over here? You're going to lose everything. Everything you have is going to disappear. But he that winneth souls is wise because he's going to get those eternal rewards. He's going to get those great things in heaven. Turn to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter number 52. I'll read for you in Romans chapter number 10, verse 15. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Look at verse number 7, Isaiah 52, verse number 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth glad tidings, good tidings, that publish peace and bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. So what's beautiful? Preaching the gospel, eternal things. We see that everybody preached this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. All wise people knew, hey, it's the gospel that matters. It's going out and soul winning. It's bringing people to Christ that matters. It's not the things of this world. And when you focus on those things, it's only going to vex your spirit. And you know that it's temporal. So I think that's part of the vexation. It's like you're craving those things in the flesh. You're seeking after them. And you know it's not right. And you know it's temporal. But you still seek those things. Why are you going to put yourself through that? Why are you going to touch that hot stove? You already know it's hot, but you want to touch it anyways. You need to come over to the spiritual side and do those things. That's what you want to focus on. Go to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Not only is it vanity, but you're going to get rewarded. You're going to get rewarded for these things. Lay not up, verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to lay up things on earth? Are we supposed to seek after the temporal things? No, it says not to do that. Why? Because moth and rust is going to corrupt. These things are going to be destroyed. So what shall we do? Look at verse number 20. but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Look, there's no looters in heaven. There's no rioters in heaven. You don't have to worry about those things in heaven. The temporal things you got to worry about. But I'm focused on the eternal things. I'm focused on these things in heaven, where those things aren't going to be corrupted, where those things last forever. Look at verse number 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. This is the key to this verse, because where your heart is where you put your treasure, right? So if you're putting all your time and energy over here in the flesh and the temporal things, well, I just don't feel like reading my Bible. Well, I wonder why. Because all your treasures are over here. Well, I just don't feel like going soul winning. Well, I just don't feel like doing things of God. Well, that's because your treasures are over here. But the person that's storing their treasures over here, you know what they want to do in the morning? They want to read their Bible. Because that's where their treasures are. It's not where your heart is your treasures will be. It's where your treasures are, your heart's going to follow. Because if you're seeking after these things, that's where your heart's going to go. That's what Solomon did. He said, I'm going to give my heart to all these things. And he went down that path. And he said, that's vanity. But when you give your heart over here, your treasures over here, your heart follows. Because that's where your time is invested. That's where those things are invested. Look at verse number 24. Skip down to verse number 24. Where are you storing your treasures? Because no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It's not saying we'll try it, see if it works. It's saying you cannot. It is not possible to serve God and mammon. Mammon is material riches. It's material wealth. It's the lust of the flesh. It's the pride of life. It's what the world offers. You can't serve both of those. Why not? Why can't I? Just let me try. I think I can do both. I think I can do both. But what does it say? If you try to do that, you're going to hate one and love the other, or else you're going to hold to one and despise the other. Because you can't, it doesn't work. You got to pick one. That's why riding the fence never works. Eventually you have to get on one of the sides because you're going to hate the other side. You can't be a liberal and a conservative. It doesn't work. You have to pick one because you're either going to love one or hate the other. So you have to pick a side. And if you pick mammon, you're going to despise God. And if you pick God, you're going to hate the things of the world. And you know what? We have the flesh and the spirit. And guess where the flesh wants to take you? It wants to take you over here. It wants to play with these things. But the spirit wants to pull you over here. But what decides? It's where your treasure's at. If you put all your treasures over here, it's easier to go this direction. But when you put your treasures over here, you see the problem that you're going to run into. And that's why he said, all is vanity. Stop messing with this stuff because it's vain. You're wasting your time. Don't put your treasures here. Put them over here. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. All the world can offer you, all the devil can offer you, is mammon. That's all he can offer you. He can't offer you the things of God. Now, he might come as an angel of light. Hey, man, if you get really rich, you can help the church. Come over here and make some money, and then we can help the church. Isn't that what all prosperity gospels teach? Hey, just get filthy rich, and then you can help those people. That's what they teach, right? But, I mean, you're going to have to rip off all these people to get filthy rich, and then you can help them. It's like the government. We'll just tax everybody, and then we'll give you some back. We're here to help. Look at verse number 16. For all. Does it say for some, or does it say for all? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and pride of life are not of the Father, but of the world. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. So I have four main points. The first point of why you should be going soul winning is because all is vanity. The second point is that if you do go soul winning, that you'll reap rewards. You'll reap eternal rewards that last forever. That sounds pretty good to me. Look at verse number 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11. So this is how every Christian is going to be laid. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So you have salvation. That's your foundation. Jesus Christ is the rock. Okay? Before you build any structure, you lay the foundation. And if you're saved, Jesus Christ is that foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. So what are these two things contrasting? The eternal rewards versus temporal rewards. So you have your foundation, you're saved. Now what are you going to build on that? Are you going to be the first two little piggies? Right? Or are you going to be the last one? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So this is where it can be deceiving, because you can think that you're doing all these things that are eternally rewarding. Like, hey, I'll get super rich so I can help the church. Look, I'm building these great things, but you're not. Those things are wood, hay, and stubble, and that will be found out in the day of judgment. Those things will go through the fire, and we'll find out what you actually laid. So what are you going to build on that foundation? And if you choose wood, hay, and stubble, that's temporal. That's going away. But if you choose the gold, the silver, the precious stones, those are the things that are eternal. Those are the things that are going to go with you into the next life. Turn to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. Now think about that. If you build your foundation, what's the next thing you should do? Well, you built that foundation by getting saved. So the next thing you should do is go get other people saved, right? That would be building upon that. That would be putting up the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. That would be the next thing to do. But unfortunately, people want to put up that wood, hay, and stubble. Look at verse number 29, Mark chapter 10, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's." I don't think he left. Did he leave anything out? No, he didn't leave anything out. If you left anything for Christ's sake or the gospel's, what does it say? "But he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions." That's the bad part. "And in the world to come, eternal life." So look, whether you're saved or unsaved, you're going through persecutions. Okay? I think the reason why they put that in there is like, look, you're not just going to get the perfect life. But Solomon already told us, look, you're going to go through tribulations either way. Things are going to vex your soul either way, whichever one you choose. So you're going to go through persecutions, but look, you're going to get that eternal life. You're going to get those eternal rewards if you go in this direction. And it says 100-fold. So God is not just willing to reward you, but to reward you greatly if we needed anything else after salvation. But he's willing to give us those rewards. So why are you so focused on these things? Because we're in the flesh. So think about these things. I mean, honestly, if you have such a great opportunity, what are you doing? This is things that we have to meditate on ourselves. Why do I keep pursuing these things? I know they're wrong. I know they're vanity. I know they're not good for me. Why am I not 100-fold? 100-fold is what he's offering you, and it's eternal. So he's going to give you 100 times more, and it lasts forever. I mean, he can't give you a better deal. But yet, we seek after vanity. Yet, we seek after these things that are worthless. Luke chapter 18, verse number 30 says the same thing. It says, "Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting?" So God's willing to reward you on this earth and in everlasting for those great rewards, for doing the things of God, walking in the Spirit, going out soul winning, which is the greatest work a Christian can do, going out and doing God's will. He's going to reward you in this life and in the next. That's what we're commanded. That's what God wants us to do. I want to read for you in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. You can turn to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Now, this is actually kind of a rebuke to David, but it's very interesting because David was a man after God's own heart. David was a very righteous man, and he was seeking the Lord. The Bible's clear. In verse number 8, it says, "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such a thing." So after David commits the vanity, God's like, "What are you doing? I gave you everything. And if that wasn't enough, I would have given you more." But what happened? He was in the flesh. He stopped doing the things of the Spirit. He stopped seeking those eternal rewards. And he went into the flesh and destroyed it. And God's like, "What are you doing? I would have given you, I gave you everything and I would have given you more." He only lost things for the sins that he did. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, it says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." This is what God is offering you. This is what God is offering you. He's offering you all these great rewards. He said he's going to make you rulers and reigners in his kingdom. 100-fold. Eternally. I mean, this is the greatest thing that you can get. And he's offering it to you. But where do we want to go? We want to focus. We have that short-term vision. And we're like the horses with the blinders on. But we hear the truth. But we get stuck trying to go this way. And he's offering us all these things. That's what I want to hear, that good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear in the Spirit. But what do we want to do? We want to go into the lust of the flesh. So think about these things, that we can be rulers and reigners. We're going to get great rewards eternally. When you think about going this way, think about what you're giving up. You're seeking after vanity, which is bad enough, but you're also giving up these great rewards. And going out soul winning, why we go out and do it is, one, because everything else is vanity in the world, and two, because you can get these great rewards. Go to, we got in Hebrews 6, look down at verse number 10. Verse number 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor and love. God's not going to forget. You know, you want to go and work extra for your boss, and you put in some extra overtime, he might forget. He's unrighteous. He might not see those things you're going to do. But God's not going to forget those things you're doing for him. He's not going to forget those works of labor and love that you did. So you can't lose. He's going to reward you. He's going to reward you more than you deserve. And he's not going to miss anything. He's going to remember everything you did for him. Unlike the world, which people lie, cheat, and steal to get ahead, and they still can't get ahead. It's like, God's like, if you just do the right things, I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to miss your labor and love. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. So my third point of why we should go soul winning is to show our love towards God. To show our love towards God. First off, everything's vanity. Second off, God's going to reward you. But the third reason why we should go soul winning is to show our love to God. Jesus showed his love to the Father by obeying and coming down and sacrificing himself. And we're supposed to show our love by keeping God's commandments. Look down at verse number... Oh, I skipped ahead. Hold on. 15. "For if you love me, keep my commandments." It's pretty simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. So how can you show your love towards God is keeping his commandments. I'll read for you in 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So how can you show your love towards God? It's by keeping his commandments, and also that they're not grievous. I mean, keep them anyways, but, you know, having a bad attitude about it is not helpful. It's just like your children. You say, "Hey, go do this." They're like, "Okay." It's like, that's not how you want them to obey you. That's not how you show your love. You ask your wife to do something, she's like, "Fine, I'll go do it." It's like... That's not what you're seeking for. That's not showing your love. If you actually love somebody, not only will you do it, but you'll do it with a smile. It should bring you joy. Because loving somebody is sacrificing what you want for somebody else. Loving somebody is sacrificing self to be pleasing to somebody else. That's what love is. How did God love the world? He sacrificed himself for us. So what are we supposed to do in return? If we want to show God our love towards him, we're supposed to sacrifice ourselves. We're supposed to die daily and show our love by following his commandments, by refusing the lust of the world and walking in the Spirit, receiving those eternal rewards for doing such things. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. What, soul winning even a commandment? And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So yes, soul winning is a commandment. So if you love God, if you profess that you love God, yet you don't go soul winning, you know what that tells me? You don't love God. You can't say, I love God, but I don't go soul winning. That's not possible. That's not a logical conclusion, because it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And how many Christians are going soul winning today? Even in our movement, many Christians don't go soul winning, or they do it very few and in between. But if you want to show God you love him, keep his commandments. And the last commandment God gave the apostles is go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there's nothing greater that a Christian can do than to get somebody else saved. I search and I can't find or think of anything greater than making another Christian. Because that's the ultimate show that God did for us, as he came down and saved us. That's how he showed his love toward, and he did many other great things. He brought down the rain on the just and the unjust. But you know what he did also? He sacrificed himself for everybody. That was his greatest show of love. So if you want to show your greatest show of love to God, what should you be doing? Should be going out soul winning. Should be going out and preaching the gospel to every creature. That's how we return and show our love to God. I had y'all go to John chapter 15. Look at verse number 8. Well, how do we glorify God? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear some fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Is that what it says? No, it says that you bear much fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Bear much. Well, how short does my hair have to be? Well, I want to bear much fruit. How many people do I got? How much do I got to go to the Much. Right. Much fruit. How much? Much. He doesn't say go out 20 minutes a day or 12 hours a day. He just says much. Because you can be the judge of that. Everybody has different things going on in their life, but you know what we should be doing? Bringing forth much fruit unto the harvest. The harvest is white, but few laborers there be. There's many people out there that want to get saved, but the laborers are few. You know what that means? There's people that would get saved. There's people that would go to heaven if you knocked. But they go to hell because you didn't knock. That's a tough burden. Every single person you look out there, 99% of them are going down. Broad is the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But it's because we're not knocking, because the harvest is white. There's many people that are ready to get saved. And if you ever gone soul winning, you know that. Because you don't have to knock that many doors. You don't have to go out that many hours to get somebody saved. You know, somebody did a bunch of statistics on it one time, and it was like, less than 1% of the population is saved, if you're conservative. So it's probably even less than that. Now, how many doors do you have to knock to get somebody saved? Less than 100. You know what that means? There's people that want to be saved that are not getting saved. I can't think of any time where I had to knock 100 doors and somebody didn't get saved. But you know what? Most people aren't knocking 100 doors. That's why people aren't getting saved. So we need to go out and do the labor. And that's how we show our love towards God. And not only that, but he's going to reward us. Not only that, anything else is vanity. I mean, he can't make it any easier for you. Hey, this stuff, it's worthless. It's garbage. It's trash. Hey, if you do what I ask, I'll reward you greatly. Hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. He can't make it any easier for us. And especially in America, we're already spoiled rotten. How come we can't go out and preach the word of God? That is the question. Why can't we go out there and show our love towards God? Somebody came and got us saved, but we don't want to go out and spread that same news. That's a wicked heart. That's a wicked heart. Because somebody took the time to make sure you got saved. But you don't want to return that favor. And God said, if you love me, you will. So if you don't really want to go out soul winning, you need to examine, do you even really love God?
Yep.
That's a good question. Because if you don't feel like going out soul winning, then you don't really love God. It's not possible to have both those in your head. Go to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2, Mark 4 verse 8, it says, and other fell on the good ground, and some did yield and spring up and increase and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. You know, we're not always going to bring the same amount. People are in different places in their life. But look, it doesn't say bring forth one. It doesn't say bring forth zero. They brought forth 30, 60, 100. And there's many people that we know that have brought forth more than that. So it's not because it's not possible. It's because you're not doing it. That's the only reason why people aren't getting saved, is because saved people aren't getting people saved. And the times are only getting worse. People aren't going to church now. There's fear everywhere. It's only going to get worse. And the Bible tells us it's going to be like the days of Noah. It's going to be like the days of Lot. It's only going to get worse. And the less you go soul winning, the faster it gets worse. The only thing that keeps God's wrath off a country is saved people. Just ask Lot, because he ran out of people. And he's like, all right, time to get destroyed. You should be going to Revelation chapter number 2. My fourth point, my final point, why should you go soul winning? Because it is your duty as a Christian to go soul winning. It is your duty as a Christian to go soul winning. We already saw that it's a commandment of God. Now, God's trying to be really nice about it. He tried to tell you, hey, this is vanity, it's worthless, it's bad. Then he said, hey, I'll even reward you. I'll give you incentives. And then he said, hey, if you love me, you'll actually do it. But finally, hey, it's just your duty as a Christian to go soul winning. It is your duty as a Christian to go soul winning. Look at verse number 4, Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. That's very strong language. And this is to a church, but this can be the same as an individual. Look, God wants to use you, and if you refuse to be used by God, he will end you quickly. He'll, just like a branch, he'll cut you off and throw you so you can get... You'll be the salt. You'll be the salt without savor. He's only interested in preserving those that are going to bring forth fruit. You know, anybody that does gardening, if you got stuff that's not bringing forth fruit, you know what you do? You clip it. You remove it so you can put something else there. What did Jesus say to the tree? The parable. He said, hey, I'm going to pull this out of the ground. It hasn't brought forth fruit in 3 years. And luckily there was somebody who says, hey, let me dung it real quick. I don't want to get dunged. Okay, but if you're not bringing forth fruit, you might get dunged, and if you don't, you're going to get ripped out.
Right.
He's going to remove that candlestick because you haven't done the first works. And I think it's very clear that the first works are soul winning. It's going out, because you know what Jesus did first? He went and saved souls.
Right.
He went out and saved souls. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Matthew 5:13 says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but shall be cast out and be trodden under the foot of man. Again, that's very strong language. Hey, you are the salt. Hey, you are the light. But if you don't use that salt, if you don't shine that light, he'll just come put it out. He'll just take that salt and throw it over and let men trample over it. Look, I don't want to get trampled over. I don't want my light extinguished. But those are the things that God tells people that refuse to do their duty. It is our duty to go out. It's not just a suggestion. It's a commandment for people to go out and soul win. It's a commandment of God to go out and soul win. Christians that do not go out and soul win, they do not bring forth good fruit. The Bible says they are good for nothing. Are they good for something? Nothing. That's what the Bible says. If you are a saved Christian and you do not go out and go soul winning, the Bible says you are good for nothing. It is our duty to go soul winning. And like I said, he gives us plenty of good reasons to go. Vanity versus rewards. He says, do it to show my love towards you. But if anything, just do it because I said so. And isn't that what we do with our kids? Hey, please pick that up. Hey, pick that up right now. Hey, if you don't pick that up, we're going to go and take care of this in the other room. That's how it works. And God works the same way. Hey, I love you. Do this. Well, I don't really want to do it. Hey, I'll give you this if you do it. Well, I still don't want to do it. All right, let's go talk in the back. That's what God says. And if that doesn't fix it, then he'll just toss you under, to be trotted under the foot of man. He'll toss a whole church. He'll put out their candlestick and say, you're done. That's what God will do when he gets fed up. Just ask Sodom and Gomorrah what happened. You push God too far, you don't repent, he'll just destroy you. Just ask any saved people in the Bible that mess up, he'll put you under. You'll be done. God wants you to do your duty, and he's more than willing to pay for it. He's more than willing to reward you for it. But if you refuse, and if you fall into the snares of the devil, if you become that unfruitful tree that gets choked out by the deceitfulness and the cares of this world, he will end you. He will destroy your life. Whether you physically die or your life just sucks for the rest of it, he's going to make sure that you're taken care of. Because he's not wasting his time. You know what God wants to protect? You know what kind of tree God wants to take care of and nourish? The one that's bringing forth 30. The one that's bringing forth 60. The one that's bringing forth 100. That's the one he wants to protect. He doesn't care about the tree that's not bringing forth any fruit. He'll just let it wither and die, or he'll just rip it out of the ground. I'll read for you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for the necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. That's what Paul said. He said, woe is me. He said, I am scared to death if I don't preach the gospel. He said, necessity is laid upon me, and woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. He said, look, if I do it willingly, he's going to pay me, he's going to reward me greatly, but even if I don't do it willingly, woe unto me. He said, the gospel has been committed unto me, and woe unto me if I refuse to preach the gospel. Paul said he didn't want to be a castaway. He was worried, one of the greatest Christians in the world, he was worried that God would stop using him. He was worried that God would cast him away. And how much more should we be worried about that? Don't be the unjust steward. You should be going to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. The gospel was committed to you. It was committed to me just as much as to Paul. There was no difference. We are all committed to preach the gospel. Don't be the servant that buries the talent in the sand. It didn't work out good for him. Oh, well, I didn't know, so I just buried it. It's like, no, you were supposed to go and manifest. You were supposed to go out and grow and be fruitful. I gave you instructions. You know, you guys are in a great church that will teach you to go out and go soul winning. You're in a great church with great fellowship. And, you know, don't burden the church with your curse either. If you're going to come in here and not do the works of God, that's not good for the church, because you can pull others away with you. You know, pastor just preached about kicking out a bunch of losers out of church, and look how much we're thriving. Look how much greater it is, because you have those leeches, you have those the vampire energies, you know, sucking the life out of you. Hey, you know, everybody here, as far as I know, is fired up to serve God. Everybody here is outgoing soul winning. Everybody out here is doing great works of God, but you know what? Take heed lest you fall. You know, going out soul winning, it's not just like, it's real easy to just get in habits. Like, oh yeah, we just do this. Like, don't forget why you're doing it, why we believe these things, why you're supposed to go out soul winning. There's so many more reasons that we could cover, but these are four important points. You know, first, it's our duty to preach the gospel. Second, it's how we show God we love him. You can't say that you love God if you're not soul winning. Third, he's going to reward us for those things. And fourth, we've already learned that everything from this world is vanity. It's vexation of spirit. So why bother with it? Think about those things when you fall into the lust of the flesh. You know that it's vanity. And the Spirit and God can pull you out of those things. You pray and you ask to be delivered from things. You pray and you ask and you seek and you meditate on God's word. That's the only thing that can get you out of the lust of the flesh is the power of the Spirit. And you have the ability to use that to get you out of here and bring you back over here. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That's what he's given unto us. We are to go out and reconcile the lost to Christ. Just as Christ came and brought you to God, the same thing you're supposed to do out and bring others to Christ. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse number 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to go out and teach people about Christ. Just like Christ came to save us, we're to go out and get others saved. "We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God." Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'll just breeze through a couple of these real quick. It says in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." The Bible says that he brought us to be zealous of good works. He made us to go out and do these good works. Now, obviously, we don't have to do them to be saved, but that's what we're here for. If he didn't have those good works for you to do, you'd just get saved, and after the prayer, you'd die. That'd be a really weird way to go soul winning. I think that's how Adam Fanning goes soul winning. He tries to kill people, right? I try to talk him out of getting saved after I get him saved, he said. Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." So are we supposed to go out to all nations or no? Are we supposed to go out and preach the gospel or no? No. We're supposed to get a bunch of riches, and then we'll help people once we're rich. Right? Joel Osteen. "Look, well, you guys put all your money in a pile, and we'll buy me a jet, and then I'll fly over here. We'll charge tickets to our service." That's the world. That's what the world's offering you. That's not of God. Look at verse number 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why are you even calling me Lord? You're not Lord. You're not even listening to me. You're not even obeying my commandments. Why are you calling me Lord? That's pretty strict. Look, this is an independent, fundamental Baptist church. Fundamental means we believe in the fundamentals. And the fundamental of the New Testament is soul winning. It's to go out and preach to the lost. A church that is not going out and soul winning is not fundamental. That is the key to the Bible, is going out and preaching the Word of God. It's the first works. You know how Jesus Christ started almost all his conversations was? Getting somebody saved. What did he say to Nicodemus? Nicodemus came to ask questions. He's like,